The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 18th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the Monday edition of the show. College football games to react to, college basketball games to react to. Auburn football gets a win this weekend. Auburn basketball is back in action tonight. We do not have to talk about high school football. If you don't want to, that's okay with me. We've got a lot of other things that we can get to on the show today. And look, I know it's the time of year where there's so much to talk about that 2 hours just doesn't seem like enough at times. But we're going to do our best on the show today to get to all of it. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Weather was perfect. It's another beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area. As I welcome in this guy who's with me every Monday and Friday. He's wild. He's crazy. He is your favorite, Uncle Tebow. What's up, my man? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Jake. A big win for our Auburn Tigers over Louisiana Monroe this weekend, and boy, was that needed. And how about my man Cam Coleman going crazy in that football game? We talked
Buck
about
wild.
It on Saturday, game day on Wings, Jack Hutton and I. What Auburn needed to do moving forward, I think it was my answer to begin to establish some type of identity on offense. I'm not quite that they completely, completely got there, but going to Cam Coleman, going to your playmakers, that's a good place to start, and it was fun to watch. Great crowd over there on the Plains, a lot bigger crowd than I thought there would be. Auburn fans are still definitely buying in this season, and maybe these young guys are going to bring us on home these next couple of games.
Well, we've got a lot to get to on the show today, and we want you to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. That's the number to call us and get in on the show on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Already got people texting into the show, Uncle T-Bone. They are excited about the win, but still a little concerned about the win is what it seems like to me. And as we get into what happened on Saturday, right, Auburn gets a win, finally, right? And we got a win just a couple of weeks ago. It just doesn't seem like that because you turn right around and you lost it afterwards. 48-14, final score, Tigers cover. Somehow, some way, 48-14, they get the win. And here, let's dive right into this thing. First text in the text box today. Is there any talk of getting a real offensive coordinator? The first down, ball on the six, and you throw it three times and settle on a field goal. It's not going to cut it against A&M and Alabama.
507 total yards for the Tigers, 304 passing, only 203 rushing. I think they could have probably doubled that up if they wanted to. I'm still of the belief that Auburn needs to move forward with some type of coaching search, offensive coordinator-wise, nationwide, and do what Auburn does best and repeat its history like Tommy Tuberville did after the 01 season on Black Saturday when the Tide blew out Auburn unexpectedly and he fired Noel Mazzoni and the defensive coordinator John Lovett and did a nationwide search and went and found Bobby Petrino and Gene Chizik. They turned out to be pretty darn good coaches. 2004, in the offseason, Tommy Tuberville does it again and goes out and finds Al Borges, who was very successful at Auburn. I'm kind of in this little – I get the text. I get it. I get the question. I mean, I don't know if I want to just break that down right out of the chute, but I guess we're going to if that's where – John Q. Public is. I mean, we just had 507 total yards, but I did notice it. It's first and goal. Run the freaking football, babe.
Yeah, I mean, run the ball.
And just won't do it. It's just, listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, I'm wondering if you had any coordinator, if there wouldn't be enough meddling in there, because it's just blatantly obvious that Hugh Freeze wants to throw it.
I mean, the first drive was so perfect, right? It was running with Jarquez Hunter and throwing to Cam Coleman. That's all they did. They threw, what, one to Malcolm, an incompletion to KLS or somebody. I can't remember who it was. And everything else was either a Jarquez Hunter run or it was a throw to Cam Coleman, who had his best game as an Auburn Tiger in his young college career. 8 catches, 100 yards, and 3 touchdowns. You had 2 receivers with over 100 yards on Saturday. KLS with 104, Coleman with 100, Jarquez on the ground, right? He had 14 carries for 102 yards. He became a 1,000-yard rusher on Saturday.
I don't think he needed to have more than 14 carries in this game, though. There's no reason to risk him the rest of the season.
I agree.
But there are other backs. Like, get Jeremiah Cobb and Damari Austin go a little bit more on that goal line situation. I mean, you know, and at least get Jarquez Hunter 1 touchdown for all the work he did.
Were you surprised? Because on Saturday, or on Friday, rather, we were still up in the air on who was going to be the starting quarterback come Saturday morning. And here's Peyton Thorne,
no,
who jogs out with injury problems, supposedly, right, who had not been
right.
practicing very much. And he walks out here and has one of the best games of his college career. 22 of 32, 286, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. We were talking this weekend, me and some buddies. Peyton Thorne may go down as one of the best quarterbacks in the history of football against non-Power 4 schools. Like, this is what he does against mm-hmm. the Alabama A&Ms and the ULMs and things like that. I mean, I really do wonder, T-Bone, if this is – I mean, is this a mental thing? Like, yes, you're going against weaker talent.
No.
I get that. But, man, he doesn't just beat these types of teams. He lights them up. Lights them up.
I think that Auburn's offensive line is struggling, to say the least, against the pass rushes and against better programs. You get more pressure and more confusion, and that's why it's more important to even run the ball against them than it is in times like these against lesser programs. So when you go up against a Georgia, that defensive line's a little bit different, and so are the linebackers and the defensive backs than what you got against Louisiana Monroe. If you could give Peyton Thorne time against a Georgia or Alabama like you did against Louisiana Monroe, I think that he would show some pretty significant jump in numbers against those type programs. The best way to do that, I believe, is to try and establish some type of run game. But I was not surprised he was named starting quarterback. I said it Saturday morning. Could you imagine what would have happened had we lost that game?
It would have been. We talked about it Friday.
So Hugh Freeze knows that the pressure's on. Do not lose this game. And I don't care what anybody says. Right now, Peyton Thorne gives you the best chance to win a game, even not at 100%. If he didn't, I think you'd already seen a quarterback change.
Which is what Hugh Freeze has said in his own words, right? He has said that several weeks, time and time again. And by the end of the first quarter and by the end of the first half, there was not a whole lot of threat of Auburn losing this. Yeah, you gave up a couple of touchdowns in the second half, but you also scored more touchdowns. You scored 3 of them in the second half. So there was no real concern that Auburn was going to lose this. And you win 48-14, and these games are, they're so, I don't know, they're hard to break down, they're hard to evaluate as a fan or as media or radio personality, because you have to be careful not to dive too deep into it, because it is ULM, but you still want to celebrate if you're Auburn, because a win's a win, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of where you have to go with all of that, in my opinion.
If Auburn was, you know, had 7 wins going into this game and had the same outcome, would anybody be complaining? Anybody be picking apart anything that happened in this game? Really, probably not. But when you get into a negative season, and Auburn's had one, every single fan has an opinion on every single thing that happens, and it just turns into this spin cycle of negativity. I mean, Auburn covered. They won 48-14. We needed a win. I've got actually a little positive. Cam Coleman looked like, Megatron at times out there. So, I mean, I actually feel pretty good about it other than just a few key play calls that I think, you know, I still think need to be cleaned up.
334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Well, I'm going to tell you like it is. You're saying Peyton Thorne gives us the best chance to win. Well, whose fault is that?
I would say Hugh Freeze.
Absolutely. He has not developed any quarterbacks, and that was blatantly clear when White went in there and just looked like a high school student that he is against a college team.
Yeah, that was fascinating to see, and that answered a big question that we're going to get to here on the show today is, seems like Hank Brown's Auburn career may just be done. I mean, he just got skipped right over, and they went straight to Walker White, who, you're right, I mean, he went 2 of 5 for 18 yards, and he had a fumble. So he didn't do a whole lot in limited action.
I believe he was set up, to tell you the truth, just to get Peyton Thorne in there.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, how many downs has White played this year?
Very few.
Well, what he had in that game is what he played.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, who's going to mess up? Of the three quarterbacks that are on the bench, who you think would mess up?
I mean, probably the young freshman that hadn't played all year.
I think he played because it's going to be one of the few. He's going to be someone who's considered in the future as actually someone who may play for Auburn. And I don't think that – I think the ship has sailed definitely on Holden and probably on Hank. So they had to get him a little experience. It was a good time to do it.
Well, you know, the portal's coming up shortly, right?
Yep.
And if we don't get a well-named quarterback, I ain't talking about another Peyton Thorne. We don't want somebody else's rejects. If we don't go out and get a named quarterback that is developed and knows how to play college football, we're going to find 5-star receivers jumping ship.
It very well could happen, Spectre. It very well could happen. Appreciate the call, my man. Great to hear from you. 334.
I mean, did Auburn lose Saturday?
No, but, I mean.
I mean, what game did I watch?
And here, that's the thing is.
I mean, they could have scored 70 on Lamo.
Well, yeah, and you're a 4-6 football team. Look, I know where Spectre's coming from. He's been in that boat pretty much all season. But at this point. Right, we're down to 2 games left in the season. Nobody's getting developed at this point. They are what they are. In that quarterback room, Peyton Thorne is what he is. Walker White stepped on the field for the first time. And, yeah, he looked like a lost puppy dog. He'll be fine. He'll be okay. This conversation should carry into the offseason and into next season on, okay, if you don't get that portal quarterback, or heck, even if you do, you still have to develop the dudes in that room behind them. And I think to Spectre's point, you just haven't seen that. Peyton Thorne didn't get better, and nobody behind him has gotten any better this year either. But at the end of the day, Peyton Thorne walked in here under with all the criticism, with all the hate, with the injury, with everything like that. Yes, against a lesser opponent. And he had one of his best games of his career. Did you know statistically, if he does what he could do in the next 2 games, even if he's just average in the next 2 games, there are stats that will say he is a top 10 quarterback of all time at Auburn. Of all time. Just statistically.
That's why there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. I mean, you know, who's the best quarterback ever at Auburn? I think that's not debatable. He won a BCS national championship. And then after that, you can really start debating because it's all about wins and losses, ultimately, to me.
I agree.
And you know, especially against top teams, you can make your hay statistically against the lesser teams. But, I mean, you got to go out there and you got to beat the top teams in a on your schedule. And if you don't do that, then, I mean, have you really done anything?
Let's take a break. We got phone calls. We've got text messages. We got a whole lot more to get to here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Back inside the studio at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. John, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon. I was just calling in, going to make a point. The person or people calling our offensive plays, whether that be Hugh Freeze or if we've got a game manager, I'm not sure. But sometimes it strikes me as they don't understand football. Case in point, our second to last possession of in the first half, we've got the ball on our 5-yard line with like 3 minutes remaining in the half, and normally you want to run the ball three times, burn clock, and punt, and go back into the locker room with a 17-point lead. But our first play in that position was a screen pass that gets tipped in the air and almost intercepted for a pick six.
That's a de facto second timeout point, there.
Yeah. Second point, the second possession in the second half, we've got the ball first and goal on the 3-yard line, and you think you got three chances to get it in from the three running the ball, but first call they play is a fade into the back corner of the end zone. And I'm thinking, are they just trying to score style points? Is it more style over substance, or what's going on?
Hey, first of all, John, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
And secondly, there was a big-time quarterback commitment and recruit in attendance this weekend and hopefully next weekend as well, so that might have just answered your own question. Perhaps they were just trying to work on some things. Maybe they were just trying to, John, give Texas A&M and Alabama some things to think about. What do you think?
Oh, God.
John, you still there? And we've lost John.
I guess not. All right. Hey, John, appreciate the call.
Maybe
though.
They were just, you know, we got the Wrecking Crew and Texas A&M come to town. We gotta let them think about some things in their game plan. And let me tell you what I would have made them think about is us running it down their throat. Right? I mean, Jacob, am I sensing some up? People are upset.
I think most fans are.
I mean, they won 48-14. They got to cover. I mean, I got a winner chicken dinner, man.
I just don't
pay me money.
People just don't. I think the Auburn fans, though, they've seen this story before, right? I mean, you saw them put up 70 points against Alabama A&M. You've seen them beat the New Mexicos of the world. Heck, you would think this time a year ago, you lost to a team like this. You would think Auburn fans would want to be a little more excited about only the fourth win of the year. Think about that. You're celebrating the fourth win of the year. That's it. With two games to go. You've won four total times. Fans have gotten to roll Toomer's Corner four times this year. That's it. They rolled it for a golf national championship. And an election more than they have for
Auburn
football.
They rolled it after Trump won the presidency.
That's what I'm saying.
That's like, five times.
Like, that's what I'm saying. They've rolled it more for non-football things than they have for the actual game. And yet, there's still people upset because I just don't think they're convinced with a win over ULM. And you know what? I totally get it. I'll be in their camp, Uncle T-Bone. I will. I totally understand where they're coming from. That a win over ULM at 11:45 in the morning on a Saturday at home, that doesn't move the needle for me either.
Peyton Thorne, 22 of 32, 286 yards and 5 touchdowns. Jacob, those are solid numbers.
For a guy that's going to be gone in 3 weeks. For a guy that's not even going to be here.
Cam Coleman, 8 for 100, 12.5-yard average, 3 touchdowns, and one of the greatest touchdown catches I've ever seen in Jordan Hare history.
That was pretty sweet. That was pretty sweet. That was pretty awesome. I
mean,
will say so
the
myself.
Defense continues to look good against more solid opponents and others that aren't so solid. I mean,
someone says, fool us three times, we aren't buying it in the online.
I mean, Auburn
text
fans are out for blood today. It's
yes,
like,
they are.
It's almost like somebody destroyed some eagle's nest or something around
town. Somebody got something fired up. Hey-o, Timber!
I mean, you know, listen, 48-14, I thought Auburn would struggle with Louisiana Monroe. They went out there and blew them off the field. And, yeah, there's some things they had to clean up, Jacob. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do in the middle of November, right?
Yeah,
that's what you're supposed to
you're
do.
You're not trying to give – you're trying to experiment with Walker White, who's never played before. I don't – I don't understand what the problem is. I mean, A&M's coming to town. I've seen some pundits already on Auburn message boards saying, call me crazy, I think we're going to win the football game against the Aggies. And in the Iron Bowl, anything can happen. I mean, it's a pretty sad day on one of these shows when Uncle T-Bone's got to be the voice of positivity.
And it's you of all people.
I mean, normally I'm the one getting called out for calling folks the March Maggots and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they gagged a maggot. Sorry, Mark.
So, okay, so let me ask you this then. Since this is the – I didn't know this was the direction the show was going to go.
I had no idea this was going to go down. I thought everybody would be calling in happy because Purdue beat Alabama in basketball.
Which we do need to get to later. But – what I mean, what's your takeaways? I mean, are you in the boat of everything's okay, that this is what Auburn needed, that they have a chance to beat Texas A&M on Saturday?
I mean, they weren't going to beat Texas A&M unless they got a W here, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but a win here doesn't – I mean,
I'll be honest with you, I did not think Auburn would cover that game. And the
which
fact –
which ended up being, what, 24, 24 and a half?
Yeah, and the fact that they went away covering and could have covered by more just – was a positive sign to me for Auburn offensively. Now I know that Louisiana Monroe's no world beater. There were a couple of things I saw that I didn't like. I mean, when you're running the ball well, just keep running it. Doesn't matter who you're playing against. That's the pathway for really dominating people in college football.
Well, yeah.
And all of football.
Every level.
Defense looks good to me. They still continue to get a bunch of pressure. And it does give me a little bit more hope that they can show up Saturday night in Jordan-Hare Stadium and beat Texas A&M. I mean, had they barely squeaked by or even, God forbid, lost to Louisiana Monroe, I don't think I'd be – I mean, I actually felt pretty good about the game.
I wonder if –
call me crazy. I mean, they just won by 34, could have won by 54.
Well, that's the thing. Are you saying this is a good win because of – what happened this time a year ago where New Mexico State walked in here and beat Auburn inside of Jordan Hare?
It's a good win for a lot of reasons, yeah, and that's one of them.
I could get behind that for sure.
It's a good win for a lot of reasons. Do I think that all is cured and well? No. No, but can we just enjoy a big win for Auburn just for a little bit, folks? I mean, just for a wee minute before we go to the dark side?
John in Auburn sends us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067, about a different position on the Auburn offensive side of the football. He says, question, the 2025 starting running back at Auburn is blank. Who is the starting RB1 at Auburn next year? He says Damari Alston is much better than Jeremiah Cobb in terms of just pure running ability. I like Damari Alston a lot. I really, really do. I think Auburn's going to have to work to keep him around, but I do think that he is a very, very good RB1 if that is the direction that they decide.
Hopefully it's that freshman running back we just saw against Louisiana Monroe, number 22.
Mm-hmm.
That guy can play.
There's some good dudes in there.
Yeah.
There are.
I don't know. I mean, listen, it's a long ways until next season. Who's the starting quarterback going to be?
Yeah.
You know, Randy Stevens from Washington Tech? I don't know. I mean, I imagine that there's going to be so much turnover in this roster, just like any other roster. It's hard to predict just about anything. I do think that Cam Coleman's staying. I'd heard somebody rumor-mongering on one of these message boards that enjoy him while he lasts. I mean, as long as they continue to move forward in the right direction, I'll pencil him in as a starter, and I'll pencil him in as someone that's going to continue to grow as an All-American and first-round draft pick at Auburn.
And I'll say this, too. I think he was going to stay, because I believe he will, too. I believe Cam Coleman is going to stay, and he was going to stay even if Saturday's performance didn't happen. Because I saw a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, Hugh Freeze and the offense just went full Cam Coleman appreciation mode.
Not what that was.
They went into it having to save him and make sure he's okay and make sure he's happy and that Auburn can keep him, so they just gave him what he wanted. No.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb right here.
Here we go.
He's going to make a play in one of these next two games that wins it for Auburn.
Wow. You think so?
I do. I really do.
You think Cam Coleman's going to make a catch that could win the game for Auburn in these next two?
In one of these next two, yes.
Interesting. There was a question asked to Hugh Freeze at his press conference today. I think it was asked from Mike G, and he said, He was asking if there was more of an emphasis on Cam Coleman, who had 8 catches on Saturday, 13 coming into the year. Freeze's response was interesting. I didn't like it, but it was interesting. We'll talk about that, plus some college football results and college basketball. A lot more to get to here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
On the Line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. You can give us a call there. Shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And Hugh Freeze had a quote today, I guess a response today, Uncle T-Bone, to a question about Cam Coleman and about getting him the football a little bit more. And again, the question was, you know, was this more emphasis on that? Are you moving on, you know, moving forward with that line of thinking? That sort of thing. And here's what Freeze had to say. He said, quote, yeah, I would love to answer that and say absolutely we are throwing to him 8 times, but I don't get to dictate the coverages. Yes, we could design a play to take a shot to him, but it is really hard to design a play that you guarantee he is going to get a short route thrown to him because, I don't know, they could be in cover 2, they might be in tight man. It is really hard. It just happened that in the early game on Saturday, we had some RPO opportunities, and every one of them was kind of to him, and they had a couple of third downs where they had a little mesh route, yada, yada, yada. End quote. He basically said it's hard to just game plan to throw it to Cam Coleman. I get what he's saying, but I just don't buy it. You can game plan and have strategies to get him open, to get him the football. Nobody's asking Hugh Freeze to predict what the defense is going to be in. Nobody's asking you to step into the game and have it all written out and laid out and laminated and ready to go step by step, play by play. But you can see what they're in defensively and adjust to that, right? I mean, you can see what that looks like and say, okay, we've got this. We believe we can do this. All right, Cam, do this. And if you're telling me that he's not good enough to do that, I just don't believe it. Now, if you're making him read 3 and 4 different things before the ball's snapped, yeah, that may be a little bit of an issue. But I just don't know if I'm going to buy the fact that we can't predict what the defense is going to do, so we can't get him the ball.
I'm going to need some Dak to call in and give me a little bit more education on today's college offenses and how they game plan and run them. You know, that's getting way up there in AP calculus for Uncle T. I will say this. I would believe that the harder you work during the week, the more you actually schemed and game planned and watched film, you'd have a pretty good idea of how to get your playmakers into more open spaces against any kind of defense. Wouldn't you think that, you know, this is what we do offensively. This is what we do to get our best players open in space and get them the ball. This is what they do defensively really well. How can we scheme to find some weaknesses and put something in from week in to week out to get, at a very critical moment, our guy the ball?
I mean,
isn't that just kind of coaching 101?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, the way that it sounded on this answer and the way that it has sounded all year long, what have we talked about? What have we talked about the problem has been in terms of the identity of this offense is they're trying to outthink and they're overthinking and trying to outsmart the defense. Why? Why are you doing that?
Maybe they're under underprepared.
I mean, they're trying to predict what the other team's going to do, and then putting all the pressure on the players like Peyton Thorne and your receivers to adjust on the fly.
I would think that any good coach, general, field leader, business person, especially in very competitive markets, would constantly be trying to predict what their opposition's going to do. And then you scheme for it, and you have – you know, the only certainty is uncertainty. So you got to figure out what that is, try and scheme to it. You got to expect that a team like Alabama, you know, I'll say this. If you're Alabama, don't you think that you're going to start expecting that with nothing to lose the rest of the season, Auburn's coming up with some special packages for you in the Iron Bowl?
You would think.
I mean, I would be if I was Auburn, and if I was Alabama, that's how I'd be thinking, and I'd start trying to predict what those are going to be.
But in Auburn's case, it seems like they're so scared of failure, right? They're so, on offense, they're so scared of the defense stopping what they're planning that Auburn's trying to, again, outsmart them and catch them asleep or just happen to call something that goes with what they're showing on defense and just hope that you get lucky. Like, I just don't understand the mentality on this. Like, highlight what you do well. Highlight the plays that have worked. And then create some variations of those plays. And get it to the guys who make you successful. And then find as many ways as possible to get those guys the ball. Whatever defense that they're showing. Look, I'm not the most knowledgeable football guy, but I have a pretty good understanding of it. They can only show you so many things. They can only do so many things defensively. There's only 11 guys out there, and they can only move a certain way. They can only stay within the boundaries of the football field. Like, find ways to get to your playmakers and quit being scared of what the defense is going to do or not going to do and quit trying to just gamble and predict and hope to God that it works. Do what you do.
It almost sounds like to me they're not predicting anything. They're just trying to do something. They don't really have a plan for it if you're going to make statements like that. You got to get the ball to somebody, right?
Yeah.
So why not do everything you can to get it to your best offensive players?
Agreed.
I don't understand this. I don't understand it. I mean, hopefully that's not what he meant by that. That, hell, that's just shucks. It's really hard to get the ball to our best players. I don't really know how we're going to do it. You know, do they? What coverage are they going to be on? I guess we'll figure it out come game time, draw one up in the sand and see what happens. I mean, that doesn't – I don't think that that's the case, but if it is anything like that, then that's Houston, we've got a problem.
And no wonder that it's been so sloppy this year. No wonder there's been so many interceptions. No wonder there's so much confusion, right? I mean, they're not even – from what it seems and what it sounds like, they're just literally figuring it out on the fly. And mid-play, not even pre-snap.
Well, this type of football is such a high level, it's almost the NFL. I mean, it's the
especially playing in the SEC. Yeah,
exactly. It's the next step to it. So if you're not constantly scheming and prepping and watching film and basically sleeping on your couch and giving it everything you got, your competition is. And there's one thing that you can control in your program. You can't control what they're running cover three, cover five, cover whatever. I don't care what you call it or vice versa. You can control how hard you work.
So, to me,
that sounds like what the question we're asking now is how much time is really being put into game planning and scheming against the opposition? And what would that look like compared to what, Kirby Smart, Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Ryan Day, and all the other top programs coaches are doing? Because hopefully if it's not more, because that's what it takes at Auburn, because we're not one of the big state schools, we don't have privilege. We dang sure don't have entitlement, and if you're acting like you do, you're not going to be successful here. That's just all there is to it.
Let's take a look around. I want to sidestep this and come back to it a little bit later because, T-Bone, there were some great, great college football games on Saturday and some huge results around the country in the SEC and outside of the SEC as well. Number one, Oregon goes on the road, beats Wisconsin, a scrappy Wisconsin team. Oregon survives 16-13 there in Madison. Ohio State does their thing. Texas got in a rock fight with Arkansas. We tried to will it. We tried to make it happen. Arkansas gave them everything they had. That's Longhorns get another win. They beat Arkansas 20-10.
It's a good win for Texas. Hey, look, anytime you go on the road in the SEC, you get a W. It's a good thing. Texas is finding that out. They found out they got in a rock fight with Vanderbilt, and that was going to be trouble for them. Got through it. They got through Arkansas, and that's how you make playoffs.
How about Kansas? How about Kansas?
Called that one Saturday morning. And, you know, I've been big on BYU, the Cougars, man. They've been solid all season. But that Kansas has all of a sudden over the last three, 4 weeks gotten much better and gotten it together. And I'll tell you another team that better watch out for them this weekend is when Colorado travels to Lawrence to take on the Jayhawks.
Jalen Daniels playing really, really well. That's a Kansas team that got their first win of the season, lost five games in a row where defensively they did a pretty good job, and they lost all but one of those by a single score. One score to Illinois, one score to UNLV, one score to West Virginia. It was a double-digit 11-point loss to TCU, 4-point loss to Arizona State, 2-point loss to Kansas State. But they're winners of three in their last four. You said it. They got Colorado this weekend, Saturday on Fox in the middle of the afternoon. That could end everything that Colorado's built this season.
It's going to be a tough game for Colorado. Now, that's a team that is red hot and deserves all the accolades. Deion Sanders proving the haters wrong.
They did it again this weekend.
And they did it again this weekend. But that is going to be a very difficult game for Buffalo. I mean, excuse me, for the Buffaloes. And if they get through that one, watch out. That's a team that's trending towards the college football playoffs.
Yes, it is. How about Georgia keeping their season alive in dominant fashion against Tennessee, 31-17?
Yep, Tennessee had their opportunities in that game to kind of put some space in between them and Georgia earlier in the game. They just couldn't get it done. Tennessee's defense has played all – I mean, I thought that Josh Heupel was some type of offensive guru. That's all I was told in the offseason.
What a term that's become.
Yeah, whatever. Nico, he's the best quarterback in the nation, Uncle T-Bone.
Hey, I just got a text from our boy Steven in Texas. That Kansas-Colorado game, I didn't know this. That's being played at Arrowhead in Kansas City.
Okay.
How about that? So, not a home game, technically, for the Jayhawks, but I wonder why they're playing that there. Interesting. Georgia, again, when their back was against the wall, Kirby, when he had to have it, he got it. He did it, right? His team showed up. Wasn't the prettiest game in the world, but got it done. And their season is still alive. Question is, is Tennessee still alive?
They're going to have some breaks at this point. They're beginning to be on the outside looking in.
Which is crazy because you look at their
schedule.
They're
just not very good, Jacob.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think that Tennessee is ripe for getting beat by Vandy. That's a team that just offensively has underperformed all season, and he's supposed to be the offensive guy. I don't get it. Their defense plays solid, but they're on the bubble right now. We'll say that.
Yeah, and I'm with
you. They're trending towards first four out.
They're going to need some help big time.
Well, they may get some the last weekend of the season if they can win out. Georgia playing Georgia Tech, that's not going to be an easy game for the Dogs.
No, I mean, you got Texas and Texas A&M. You've got Auburn, Alabama. I mean, the SEC is getting pretty murky. But thanks to Florida, they've cleared it up a little bit. How about Billy Napier and the Gators? How about that? They get it done 27-16. Brian Kelly at LSU.
He's a fraud.
I'm not feeling it, man. I think the fans may be starting to turn on him in Baton Rouge. If we have any LSU fans, please give us a call, 334-321-1390. I'm dying to know what you think about Brian Kelly right now because he's the same coach that he was at Notre Dame, right? Got a ton of talent. He's good for a big win or two, but he's good for a bad loss or two.
You know how Auburn has struggled with its identity offensively over the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
The opposite is at LSU. They have struggled with their defensive identity ever since Dave Aranda left. It's like he just left town with all of their defensive knowledge and schematics.
Their defense is brutal. But the problem with Brian Kelly and his offense is that they're one-dimensional.
Very.
And he refuses to try and run the football and play physical football. He wants to get in these wild shootouts.
Garrett Nussmeier threw it 47 times.
It's just nuts. And you know, listen, man, you've got to establish some type of ground game in the SEC. Mm-hmm. That's just all there is to it. You don't have to be fully run dominant. But when you're not even a threat to run the ball, teams are going to eat you alive in this conference.
We got to get to break, but South Carolina beats Missouri. They get the win. I wasn't overly impressed on how they did it, especially with how late it was when they got it. But a win's a win.
Boy, Missouri let them off the hook there, and if Missouri wins that game, they're all of a sudden back in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, and South Carolina now stays alive in a quote-unquote playoff hunt. There's a lot of work. It's going to take a lot, but they're still in it, technically. I think they still have a shooter chance, whatever you want to say.
I think it's a less than 5% chance.
I think so, too. Washington State saw their hopes go crushing down or falling down, whatever you want to say. 38-35, New Mexico beats them. Arizona State takes down Kansas State. That was a big win, 24-14. Yeah,
that was Jack Hudden's lock of the week. Team favor, game day on. We got to listen to Game Day on Wings for some hot and heavy picks right there. And Jack Hudden was in the desert. I even yelled out Dilly Dilly for old Kenny Dillingham, who used to be a coach at Auburn.
He's a pretty good coach, too. He's doing good things out there at Arizona
State. When you go out and get young folks who grew up in these spread offenses that know them both offensively and defensively, instead of just kind of staying in your own echo chamber, good things happen offensively.
Lots of great college football results from over the weekend. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up hour number one, and get into hour number two. All that here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a few more minutes before we get into hour number two, where I do want to talk some college basketball in hour two because some big results from over the weekend. Auburn men's basketball back in action tonight. They're taking on UNA, North Alabama, home of the Lions up in Florence, Alabama. So they're coming to town tonight at Neville Arena, so we'll talk some about that in hour number two. Also, be sure we get Jacob Hillman in here. We'll talk Auburn football, Auburn basketball, men and women. As the women are heading out west, they're going to be on a little West Coast trip before then they head out of town and out of the country for some Thanksgiving games. Auburn men are going to be heading out of the country, too. They're traveling out, I believe, on Thursday to go down to Maui, where they'll be in the Maui Invitational next week. Tebow, can you believe Thanksgiving's next week? Thanksgiving is next Thursday.
Hard to believe.
Isn't that wild?
Hard to believe. Going to be a great week. Can't wait for it. It's always wonderful here in the great state of Alabama, especially with the Iron Bowl looming. It's beautiful outside right now, and it normally is this time of year. So it's going to be a lot of fun next week. But that is hard to believe that November's – I mean, the year's almost over.
Yeah, it is.
And the Maui Invitational, they'll leave out tomorrow, I take that?
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. I think I have some friends going out there. They're talking about making a long trip. They're leaving tomorrow. So, how nice is that?
Can't hide money, can you?
And what a wonderful opportunity for Auburn. We talked a little bit about this, Jack and I, Saturday morning briefly. After somebody mentioned Aiden Holloway not being very good for Alabama against Purdue. Excuse me, I got something in my mouth.
Yeah, a bug.
I swallowed one. the competition that Auburn's taken on this early in the season before conference play is just it's unbelievable. And the fact that they've already played at Houston and won, Iowa State, North Carolina possibly, Connecticut, Michigan State.
They could play our Dayton Flyers.
Dayton Flyers. Go Dayton Flyers.
Who do you cheer for in that game?
Probably Dayton. And, I'm just joking.
No, just joking, Coach Pearl.
And I mean, and then you got Purdue looming and Ohio State and at Duke. I mean, hey, welcome back from Hawaii. Let's take it to Duke.
Yeah.
I mean,
hope you enjoyed your trip.
It's just unbelievable. So, listen, Tiger fans, get on out to Neville Arena. I saw some empty seats for that last home game.
Boo.
And I think that is ridiculous. ridiculous. And if you can't use your seats, give them up to people who can locally.
Even if you don't sell them, give them away.
Absolutely. Give them away and get that place rocking. These people deserve it. I'll take your tickets if you don't want them tonight. And, you know.
You will humbly.
Take
them?
I'll take them off your hands. And, I mean, get your tushes in those seats and cheer on these Tigers. Bruce Pearl and them are taking on the almost impossible this season. And I think it's amazing.
Tigers up to number 4 in the AP poll today behind Kansas, UConn, Gonzaga, and now number 4, Auburn. Iowa
State.
That's
high cotton right there.
That's right. Auburn could see UConn and Maui, as you mentioned. They will play number 5, Iowa State, so a top 5 matchup to get that tournament started. They're also going to play Purdue. They've already beaten number 7, Houston. Behind that is Alabama at 8 after they got blasted. We'll talk about that coming up in hour number 2. Kentucky's a top 10 team. Mark Pope's going to be a really good coach there in Lexington. I do have a feeling. North Carolina is at 10. Auburn could see them in Maui, right? There's a chance they get that team, and Duke is the number 12 team in the country who they're going to play at Duke coming up in just a couple of weeks. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this Auburn team and what they're going to do over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to talk all about it coming up in hour 2. Other big college basketball results, plus more college football conversation as well. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. Halfway through hour number 1 here on the, I guess halfway through the show, here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Hour number 2 coming up.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number 2 during the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number 1, you can go and catch up with the podcast. We'll have that for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com. It's just the podcast version of the show. We take the audio and put it on the website for you. That way, if you miss any segments, any interviews, anything like that, you can always catch up with them there at ESPNAU.com. Uncle T-Bone and I talked a lot of Auburn football in hour number 1. Seems that there's still a lot of dissatisfaction after a win over ULM this weekend, and got into the weeds about that a little bit. Plus, talked about some of the big results around college football and how we still have no idea what's going to happen in the college football playoff rankings and the final bracket when we get that here in just a few weeks. And so all of that was in hour number 1. Here in hour 2, we're going to get into some college basketball talk as there were some big games this weekend. Auburn is back in action tonight against UNA. That is at home, 8 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. Of course, you can catch the radio broadcast of that here locally on Wings 94.3, so be sure that you tune in for that if you can't get there. If it's a little too late for you, understand, be sure you listen to it on Wings 94.3. Before we get into content, though, I want to remind you that hour number 2, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334 334-784-1067. And T-Bone, I want to flash back to Friday because there were several good college basketball games on Friday as Purdue wallops Alabama at the end. Wisconsin really wallops Arizona and a lot of other big college basketball matchups and results.
Yeah, the Purdue game was very exciting. A young Purdue team caught hot late. Freshmen's making threes. Aiden Holloway doing nothing for Alabama. It was a wonderful game to watch.
What? You didn't enjoy watching that game. Sorry, I was on the phone. I didn't
what
get
I just say?
To hear you.
I just blacked out for a second. No, it was a fantastic game. Listen, these man, listen, Auburn's going to get their shot at Purdue here shortly. I believe that game's up in Birmingham, right?
Yes, it is in Birmingham this year, and then Auburn will play Purdue next season in Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis. So, I mean, this time of year, it takes a minute to figure out what you got, especially when you're going up against big-time opponents. Alabama's going to be fine. That's a great basketball program. But it did kind of shock me a little bit how Purdue stretched that lead late. That was a raucous crowd, too, man. So, you go on the road, you play big-time opponents, anything can happen in college basketball.
Yeah, Florida gets another win over Florida State through all their controversy. Texas A&M takes down Ohio State 78-64 by 14 in a top 25 matchup. Marquette escapes Maryland, and a lot more results that I want to get to as we go. But let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. And Dak, you're on the line. What's up, man? Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday, guys, man. Great weekend of sports, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not a whole lot to complain about except for what happened to us on Friday night, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'll start with that. First of all, it was a really good game to go watch on Friday night. I was, once again, I left being more impressed with the quarterback from Thompson mm-hmm. than I have the previous 2 years. He gets the ball out so fast, gets it to the receivers better than anybody I've ever seen in high school, much less a 10th grader.
Yeah, I mean, he you're right. He gets it out so quick. And look, in doing all my preparation to call that game, I mean, that was a Thompson offense, Dak, that just they did not have a whole lot of dudes on the outside until they just discovered some on Friday. And man, I think they're going to have some big-time playmakers down the stretch.
Right, and let me tell you something. Coach Freeman is one of the best at dissecting the defense, man. And he, the one thing about him and all the years that I've gone up against him is he will change his routes in the middle of a game. He will dissect your secondary. And, he doesn't have one playbook, man. He will bring up the receivers to the sideline and change it on a fly. And he's one of the best that's ever done that. Thing that surprised me, guys, was how fast the quarterback was, man. He ran down that sideline for 80 yards like it was nothing. He left everybody behind.
Even though there were two Auburn high defenders right there who had a chance to make the play.
They had an angle on him, too.
I know. They had a chance to cut him off, even just step in front and force him out of bounds. And I think it was one of those situations. You saw it. I think they kind of looked at each other expecting the other to make the tackle, and neither one of them did. And, yeah, he scrambled for 78, 80 yards, whatever it was.
Yeah, right. And then I'll tell you something else that was impressive that really caught my eye. It was their defensive line. But they wasn't an ounce of fat on none of them dudes.
It was
and
legit.
They were all 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". And they did a really good job on Auburn High's offensive line.
Yeah, they did, which takes Auburn High pretty much out of their element, you know what I mean, trying to run with Omar and start with him and then open it up and spread it out after that. And so, yeah, Auburn High falling to Thompson, they did not play well, and Thompson took them down and out and pretty much did exactly what they were supposed to do and stopped Auburn on everything they wanted to do.
That's right. I mean, basically they said if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us with your receivers. And they've had an off night. But Auburn, congratulate them on a great season. The coaches always do a great job for them, but they did a great job. But moving on to Saturday, T-Bone, was you happy with Saturday?
I mean, I was.
I was happy. But the one thing, don't you miss when you play a team like that, it would be 30-0 or 34-0 by the middle of the
do.
And they are ancient history now, Dak. They will those days. Yes, every now and then, sure, but most of the time when you play those types of teams, we've talked about it. They're going to have enough players now to where they can hang around, and if you don't play well, they can beat you.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, really, the score should have been 17-0 at halftime. If they just get a first down, you know, we go in at halftime just 17-0. But you know, they gave us the ball back with what, about 50 seconds left, and we made a play. But the thing that I've stressed all year, and then once again we didn't see it this past weekend, is we cannot score on explosive plays. We don't have that you know, two or three play drive. You know, we have to take the ball, and it takes us 10, 12, 14 plays to score. And you know, it's very unusual not to have one of those or a couple of those in a season. But I can't think of us having any.
No, I mean, very rare. And, I mean, I guess if there is a positive to that, right, I mean, the defense gets their rest and they get to do what they need to do and get ready to go back out there. But, I mean, you've got to find, yeah, those big explosive gut punch type of plays and drives. And, yeah, Auburn just hasn't had very many of them.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is especially for T-Bone. In your opinion, is Missouri's receivers better than ours?
No.
Is South Carolina's receivers better than ours?
No.
Okay. Is Clemson's receivers better than ours?
No.
Okay. I watched all three of those teams go into their two-minute mode, and both of them score within 50 seconds. All three of them score within 50 seconds.
Does Auburn have a two-minute mode?
We haven't done it in 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Auburn has a two-minute mode.
Exactly, and that's my point. And with the receivers that we have, there is no excuse in that.
Let me ask you this. One thing that I've noticed, an explosive play doesn't have to be like it used to be, Dak, in our day when – you know, Jim McMahon would find Willie Gault for an 80-yard strike.
Right.
You know, I see a lot of teams running quick plays, especially across the middle where the field opens up, and there's just a little bit of space for somebody, I don't know, like Malcolm Simmons, turn and sprint. Why aren't we doing more of that?
That's exactly the point where I was going to get to. Is our slot receivers not getting any balls in the middle of the field? Quick and out in the middle of the field. We never do that.
And the defenses give it to us.
Absolutely. And I don't understand why Simmons is not getting the ball 6 to 8 times a game inside the slot position. Because that's where you score. That's where your mismatches are, because you're normally against linebackers or safeties.
Well, and then, you know, you can bring somebody in motion and create that mismatch too and bring them across the middle of the field. I did finally see one positive. I've been calling for it all year, is dragging a receiver across the field, albeit it was a poorly thrown ball, but Cam Coleman pulled it in. He came across from the wide side of the field all the way across the middle of the field for about an 8-yard catch, which was on third down, I believe, and turned it into a first down. I'm just missing why we're not doing more of that, of those crossing patterns that I really see Ole Miss running a lot of. And that's where I get those ideas for explosive plays happening on 5, 10, 12-yard strikes, and then it's up to your speed guy, somebody like Malcolm Simmons, to turn it into 50.
That's right. And then the other thing, too, to add to that, from talking about slot receivers, is there is never, and I say never, an excuse to be sacked, because you should know as a quarterback, and it should be built into the offense, when someone is blitzing you, that is money. That is money all day long for a slot receiver. And we never do that. We never throw a 5-yard out or the quick slant to the inside slot receivers. And you know, you make people pay by blitzing. And we don't do that. And you know, I know we threw a bunch of 5-yard hitches, and I know they was probably trying to make Cam happy and try to get his receptions up on the year. However, did you notice three times when he was going to him and they jumped it, and then he started running around and took a sack, right?
Yep.
There's no reason for that. There's no excuse for that. That is a predetermined read. you either throwing it to him or you're throwing it 10 yards over his head. And we've done it all year long. When it's not there, he takes it down, and there is nobody else to throw it to because that's a predetermined route.
Correct.
Predetermined read. And I don't get why we keep doing the same mistake over and over and losing yardage on that.
Dak, I'm so glad you called in because I don't know if you heard earlier. I asked for you specifically to call in. This is a quote
that
Jacob's going to quote Hugh Freeze directly today. I don't really know what it means. We're having a hard time deciphering what it means. But I want to get your thoughts on this quote from Hugh Freeze earlier.
Yeah, let me get it pulled back up. So the question at the presser today, Dak, was it was asking about since Cam Coleman got all the targets that he got, was that a predetermined strategy and game plan, or did it just kind of go out that way? And here's what Freeze had to say in response. He said, I would love to answer that and say, absolutely, we are throwing to him 8 times, but I don't get to dictate the coverages. He says, yes, we could design a play to take a shot to him, but it's really hard to design a play that you guarantee he is going to get a short route thrown to him because they could be in cover 2, they might be in tight man. It's really hard. He said it just happened to happen early in the game Saturday. He goes on to have some other things to say, but his point was it's hard to predetermine who we can throw the football to, and especially to a guy like Cam Coleman. Your thoughts on that?
Okay, so this is what I've been taught since college to pro to as coaching for 30 years. Those routes, they knew that they'd be playing off of him. Okay? So that's money. 5-yard hitches all day. Now, it should be built into the offense when they jump or come up within 4 to 5 yards. You can't throw a 5-yard hitch no more, right? So that's supposed to convert to a go route. So that ball is going to be thrown to him regardless. But it's either going to be a 5-yard hitch or it's going to be a go route. And if that is not built into that offense, then now I know why we're not very successful on offense.
My question was, it seemed like to me he was trying to say that it was, you know, it's just hard to predict the future. How are we supposed to always know how to get Cam Coleman open or whatever? And my thoughts are, you got to get the ball to somebody. And in game week preparation, aren't you just trying to predict what the defenses are going to do and you're going to scheme for it to get your playmakers into space some way or another? I mean, is that outrageous to ask?
No. They know what defense they're going to be in. And if they don't, then they use motion to put them in what they want.
Correct.
That is the number one thing you do. If you want them in a certain defense, then you create an emotion to get them in what you want. And I mean, I knew right off the bat in the first few minutes they were going to throw the ball probably a minimum of 10 times to Cam Coleman. And so, I guess the defense said, okay, we're going to take away the 5-yard hitches now. What are you going to do? And to me, that was simple. Now, I watched Cam on those. When Peyton pulled down the ball and started running and losing 3 or 4 yards 2 or 3 different times, he kept his route on. So my question is Cam Coleman screwing up? Because he should be running a go route. I mean, if that dude is not scared of Cam Coleman and he's going to jump a 5-yard route, then we need to be running down the sidelines.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is something that's built in your offense. I mean,
should be.
T-Bone will tell you, Duke Donaldson, Greg Taylor, Alexander Wright, they averaged 65 catches. Whoever played that inside slot, it was money because if they were in their face, it converted to a go route. If they were off, it was a 5-yard out route. That is money all day long.
And even
in
today's,
it should be money on Simmons, and it should be money on Coleman.
And even in today's offense, Dak, it's almost, or I guess in today's football, it's nearly impossible to defend if you do it the right way. I mean, if you execute it, it's nearly impossible to stop. And if you could do
it
time and time again, Auburn's got the weapons to do it. Hey, man, we appreciate your time. Appreciate you talking with us, man.
Yeah, bud.
Thanks so much. That's Dak joining us on the phone lines, 334-784-106, or 334-321-1390. Apologies. T-Bone, was that what you were looking for?
Yeah, I mean, that's just AP level sports talk right there. You got an expert in breaking it down. What I'll found most interesting out of all of that was his comment about putting someone in motion to put someone in a defense that you want them in. And I'd like to see more of that out of Auburn.
Even if you bring somebody in motion to not even put them in the defense you want them to, just to get a better read, right? You can tell if they're in zone or man just by doing that.
I would think that
you see that on Sundays all the time.
I think that there would be ample tape on any of Auburn's opponents left this season to see what they do when you're in some type of similar set offensively. And on tape, someone who played them before went into motion, and you could get some tendencies. I mean, isn't that just how you're supposed to be preparing for games?
I don't know. We're just sports talk.
Just
radio
wondering.
People.
I mean, I'm sure
what
it's happening.
334-321-1390. Dak, appreciate you, my man. People can still call in if you want to be a part of the show. Jacob Hillman joins us coming up in about 10 minutes. So until then, we'll talk some basketball when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I just brought this up to you as we were coming back from break, and we're not going to talk about it for long, but how about old Bo Nix, huh? How about Bo Nix out there in the NFL, now a starter in Denver? All he's doing is winning games. All he's doing is playing better than I think Patrick Mahomes in a game 2 weeks ago they could have won and probably should have won. And here they are. They're still winning games, and he's having a very, very good young NFL season.
Well, I mean, if he keeps it up, Denver can make the playoffs, and he can make Rookie of the Year.
Not too bad.
Not too bad, folks. I mean, it's amazing what can happen when you get some excellent football coaching and you're a heck of a talent, and you can't deny that Sean Payton – ain't one of the best at drawing up plays, especially. I mean, that was his guy in the draft.
Yes.
That's who he wanted. And people are like, okay, whatever.
I knew that was a great matchup.
And
that was a great
he
pairing.
He absolutely has made Bo Nix and Denver into a threat.
28 of 33, 307 yards, and 4 touchdowns in an NFL game for Bo Nix as the Broncos take down the Falcons 38-6.
Yeah, the Falcons safety. Who is it? His name's Bates, that was talking a little trash before the game. He was asked pregame, Jesse Bates, about Bo Nix and watching film on him and, you know, being a new guy, blah, 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 is it hard, whatever, and he popped off about and joked about Bo Nix's lengthy college career. So we've been watching film on him like the last 5, 7, 10 years, whatever, he's been in college. Well, you know what, Jesse Bates, you just got punked by Bo Nix, a rookie. How's that taste?
Can you say he got nixed? Is that a thing? Can we start that? Can we get that trend going?
I mean, he lit poor old Atlanta up.
Yeah, he did. So shout out to Bo Nix. And I said this, I think there are a big group of Auburn fans that are happy for him. I still think there's a big group of Auburn fans that don't like him and don't want him to be successful. And if that's you, then best of luck to you, I guess.
Haters are going to hate. There's always a small group of them everywhere,
Jake.
Ain't
no doubt about
that. Ignore the small people in life.
Yep, that's right. Hey, let's talk more basketball because we got cut off from Dak, but rightfully so and in a good way. That was a great conversation with Dak calling in a lot of great football conversation there. We were talking basketball results from Friday night where Purdue takes down Alabama. Again, number 9, Arizona just got waxed by Wisconsin. Really, really good games around college basketball. And it cranks back up again this week, right? There's big, big games coming up. Of course, Auburn plays tonight. I wouldn't consider this a big game, but the Tigers are back home inside of Neville Arena. And for Auburn fans, if you have a chance to go, you need to do it because Auburn's not going to be home until December 8th. It's going to be nearly 3 weeks until the Tigers are back home inside of Neville Arena when they play Richmond on a Sunday morning because they have the game against UNA. They're going to head out Thursday. They're going to be in Maui for the Maui Invitational, and then they go and play at Duke on December 4th. They will not be back inside of Neville Arena until December 8th. And then that's the only game they'll play in Neville Arena until December 17th. So from this moment, after tonight, they will play one game at home over the next month. So if you have a chance to go, you need to go. That's all I'm telling you. Because they have North Alabama, then the Maui Invitational. They go to Duke. They come home versus Richmond. Then they play Ohio State in Atlanta for the holiday Hoopsgiving. The next game they'd have at home is December 17th against Georgia State.
I mean, better get on out there and cheer them on tonight, folks. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Your thoughts on what Auburn needs to do after what the Kent State game was, right, where Auburn jumped on them early and it was running away with it. Then it got kind of cold there for a little bit. Let Kent State come around. It was a four-point game before they pulled away.
One guy from Kent State could play.
Oh, he went off.
Be looking at him for the transfer portal next year is what I'd be doing, first off, if I was Bruce Pearl and Auburn. Secondly, you just got to, you know, continue to grind and work on what you can. Clean some things up for certain. A little bit of sloppy play in that game against Kent State. That's kind of understandable, though, as an emotional win. Normally there's going to be a letdown after that. I think that you'll see Auburn completely dominate tonight. Make sure you stay healthy before you head out to Maui and start working on some things for Iowa State. I think that tonight is critical for making sure that you're in a good place heading out to Hawaii, and it is very important for Auburn to jump on Iowa State early in that game and knock them out.
I'm looking forward to Auburn's guards defensively tonight because UNA is led by a guy named Jakari Lane who averages 23 points a game. He's also their assist leader with just over 4 assists per game. He has 3 steals per game as well. So he is a guy that they are absolutely led by in Jakari Lane. And we've seen early this season how a combination of Pettifer, Denver, JP, those guys lock down defensively. They get after it. And as good as they are offensively, right, Uncle T-Bone, as good as they are and as electrifying as they are, explosive as they are, whatever positive adjective you want to put in there, they are just as good defensively, if not better. Defensively. I mean, you can make the argument that Denver is better defensively than offensively. Same thing with JP. Pettifer holds his own down there. So I'm looking forward to seeing them play defensively. What other rotations do we get? What other combinations do we get tonight in terms of who starts, right? Do we see Janai and Dylan start again tonight together? Do we see Ja'Kai play tonight? Do we see guys like that after the scuffle in the sky, right? The sky scuffle, if you will. Do they get back in tonight? We're going to find out.
Yeah, hopefully they won't get on the flight out to Hawaii and have to turn that around. That's a pretty long flight.
Yeah, I don't think you want to get halfway there and turn that sucker around. So we'll see what happens. Auburn and UNA tonight. Late tip, 8 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. You can catch the radio broadcast with Andy Burcham over on Wings 94.3. We'll take a break, come back. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll tell you all about it, what's coming up with them and what's going on around Auburn Athletics.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Across from me is Uncle T-Bone. And we also got Jacob Hillman on the phone lines from the Auburn Sports Network, who's with us most Mondays here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Jacob, good to have you back on a Monday. And after a victory over the weekend for Auburn football, haven't had a chance to do it all that often.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always nice when you have a big weekend like that. And it was a big weekend across the Auburn campus as it relates to Auburn's basketball. That was the middle of last week, but Auburn soccer got an NCAA tournament win. Auburn volleyball saw its biggest crowd in history. So just overall a really positive weekend on the plains.
Well, your takeaways from Auburn football, we'll start there, as they do return home. They get a win over ULM, just their fourth of the year, but one that, I mean, look, they desperately needed. And it looked solid, right? Peyton Thorne had one of his better games of his career. Cam Coleman had the best game of his young career, and Auburn took care of business against La Monroe.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, Peyton Thorne, he ties the Auburn single-game record for touchdown passes in a game, with 3 of those going to Cam Coleman, and then also finding Malcolm Simmons and Keandre Lambert-Smith for the other 2. Jarquez Hunter goes over 1,000 yards for the season. So, you know, it's good to get those notorieties, hitting those marks and really showing really to these guys and the fans as well that this has been a weird season where, you know, what I've said is Auburn's won the box score in a lot of these games, but, you know, the scoreboard says differently. And your record is what it is. You are what your record says it is. So it's something that you have an opportunity these last two games to really go in and, first of all, make a bowl game for yourself. You got to win out. You got to win these last two to get to 6-6 and make a bowl game. But you can also play spoiler, especially against these two teams. Texas A&M is on the outside looking into the college football playoff, kind of controls its own destiny as far as the SEC championship. And the same goes for Alabama. And it doesn't matter what the stakes are in that game. It's still the Iron Bowl. So it starts this week with the senior night game against Texas A&M. But I thought the defense continued to play well, and I thought the offense looked a little bit more comfortable. And Coach Freeze said it in his presser earlier today. It's all about getting the playmakers the ball as early and often as possible and winning first down.
Jacob Hillman, the Auburn Sports Network. Jacob, if Auburn's going to make a bowl game, it starts this Saturday night or it continues after this past Saturday with a big win over Louisiana Monroe. What are the keys to victory over the Aggies when they come to town Saturday night?
It feels like it's going to be controlling the football. I don't think that you want to let – I think what you can expect Saturday night is probably a low-scoring affair. That who knows? That could be wrong, but that's at least what I would expect. It seems like two really powerful defensive teams and two offenses that have struggled at times but can also move the ball when things are clicking, and that's what we've seen from Auburn two out of the last 3 weeks, obviously, at Kentucky and then against Louisiana Monroe. Texas A&M, they had their reality check a couple of weeks ago when they lost to South Carolina and then bounced back, obviously, against a weaker opponent, Group of Five team. So I do think that it's very, very important for Auburn to control the football and not keep the defense on the field very long, because we know that this defense can make plays when it needs to, whether that's forcing a timely turnover or just getting off the field when it needs to. But if Texas A&M is able to run the ball and control the clock, then it'll wear down this defense. And we've seen in games, specifically Missouri, even Kentucky. Auburn obviously got an interception at the goal line against Kentucky, but a long, lengthy drive at the end of the game where Auburn's got the lead, but it could be the difference between winning or losing with a long drive in the fourth quarter.
Well, Hillman, so many fans this past weekend are hoping that Cam Coleman can continue the performance that he had. I mean, it was very refreshing to see him be involved as much as he was. And as I mentioned to you in the open, I mean, his best game in this young career. I mean, what does it take for, or I guess, what does it mean for him to be as involved as he was, for him to be as impactful as he was? Because I think that will carry a huge weight on if Auburn can beat A&M or Alabama or both.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, he is a special talent at wide receiver, and obviously there's a few guys in that receiver room that are special talents, but I think what Cam Coleman's done this season, and especially proven on Saturday, is just be that guy that you know can be the ultimate playmaker for you. Obviously, Keandre Lambert-Smith is leading the way as far as the statistics go, but Cam Coleman's still that dynamic playmaker that requires a ton of attention from the defense, and he's able to make things happen as well. And I think it really does open things up, whether it's for the running game or Malcolm Simmons or KLS even more when Cam Coleman is getting that kind of play, those kinds of plays throughout a game. You've got to focus on him. You can't really sometimes you need to double cover him. And that's what I thought ULM failed to do this past weekend. They were letting their cornerbacks play one-on-one, and Cam Coleman's going to win that every single time. And obviously, an SEC cornerback and defensive backfield is going to be a little bit more talented and be able to match up a little bit better against Cam Coleman. But I still don't think that's going to be a recipe for success if you line them up one-on-one every single game. So being able to force the defense to put more attention on him is going to open things up for KLS, for Jarquez Hunter in the running game. Rivaldo Fairweather, I think he's been more of a focus in the last couple of games as well. He caught that touchdown against Vanderbilt. That was a great effort. And then he had another big catch against ULM. So I just think that continuing to feed Cam Coleman will lead to just more success overall in the offense.
Jacob, North Alabama comes to town tonight. Shouldn't be much of a test for Auburn. A couple things to look for in that game. But the big story, obviously, afterwards, Auburn preparing to leave for Hawaii to the Maui Invitational November 25th, I believe, at 9 p.m. our time. That'll be on ESPNU, Auburn, Iowa State. What are you looking for tonight? What are you looking for out there? And what are your travel plans to get out there with the team to Hawaii?
it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually thinking about that second half kind of surge by Kent State last Wednesday night, and how Auburn just kind of fell into this trap of continuing to shoot threes. I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing in the world. This team's a good shooting team and knows that it can hit threes that can really decimate a team. But and they had a large enough lead to do that, and obviously still ended up winning by the 23 points that they did. So I just think not letting a team like North Alabama climb back into the game when you have a large lead at halftime that Auburn did, and continuing to see different guys really make it happen. I think Jani Broome is your consistent piece. You know he's going to nearly average a double-double this season. He's going to be in the national player and SEC player of the year conversation. But what I've noticed is it feels like in every game it's been someone different. Obviously, against Vermont, it was Miles Kelly. He had 21 points on 7 threes. Todd Pettiford, he had 20 points, might have been 21, against Houston with 5 threes. And then it was Chaney Johnson. He just played bully ball against Kent State. And I just think it consistently rotating between different guys shows how great this team is. And the fact that you can go to anybody on any night proves that. And who knows who it'll be tonight? Could it be Denver Jones? Could it be Chad Baker Mazzara? I don't know. But and it could go back to Zahat Pettiford, J.P. Pegues. It's very interesting to see who might be that breakout player in tonight's game against North Alabama. And I'm excited to see that carry over, hopefully, into Maui. And funny enough, I'll be there in Maui. So I'll be able to give you guys a ground report with boots on the ground from there.
Nice.
You are making the trip to Maui?
I will be making the trip to Maui. So excited to see the Tigers to live on island time against Iowa State and hopefully make it to the championship there.
What, do you and Bradlaugh have to have a back alley brawl to see who got to get on the plane?
No, funny enough, actually, Brad will be working. I'll be going for leisure.
Oh, okay. So the Auburn Sports Network doesn't pay for that, then, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, no.
out of the upcoming games for Auburn, the ones that we know and the ones that are, of course, unknown given a tournament style, whether it be Iowa State or Duke or the possibility of UConn or Purdue or who, I mean, which one are you looking forward to the most, Hillman?
Yeah, that's a tough question because I think that really obviously I think the UConn game if you were to make it to the championship that's number one, facing the two-time defending national champions on a neutral site in the premier multi-team event of college basketball, you can't beat that. But since we don't know that, I do think it is that Duke game. We just saw what Kentucky did to the Blue Devils last weekend in Atlanta, and I think it would be kind of a mark for Auburn to aim for and try and do the same thing. I think that would be just incredible. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. We know that in Durham, but for Auburn to go into Duke and do something like that to potentially beat them like Kentucky did would be a really big mark to aim for.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. Tell us what's going on around the rest of Auburn athletics. You mentioned volleyball and soccer, where the soccer team got their win on Friday night. We talked to head coach Karen Hoppe late last week here on the show, and they were super excited about that game, so they get their win. Volleyball season is wrapping up in the regular season, and women's basketball is making a big trip too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'll try and keep it in chronological order to keep the bearings straight, but tonight's a big one. Tiger Talk at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Bradlaugh will host that solo and be joined by Hugh Freeze and Brent Crouch. 6 o'clock, Wings 94.3. And then right after that, 30 minutes after that, Andy Bergson, Randall Dickey, and myself will have coverage from Neville Arena for Auburn and North Alabama in men's basketball. And then Wednesday, as you mentioned, It's women's basketball traveling to Oregon for a West Coast road trip. After Oregon, they'll visit Cal on Friday, but Wednesday's matchup is set for an 8 o'clock Central tip, 7:45 on the air right here on ESPN 106.7. But if you're not, but if you're in town, go check out Auburn Volleyball against Florida. That's at 6 o'clock Central at Neville Arena. Free to attend senior night for the Tigers. Just had the biggest volleyball attendance in Neville Arena history. 3,900 showed up for the Texas match this past Friday night. So looking to continue that trend for Auburn Volleyball. And then you mentioned Auburn Soccer. Just a great win over Florida International on Friday in front of a big crowd at the Auburn Soccer Complex. They won't be at home this week. They're going to Winston-Salem, North Carolina to face Ohio State in the second round of the NCAA tournament, looking to make a run to the Elite Eight and beyond. So that game is set for Friday at 1 o'clock Central. So lots going on here on the Plains in November, and then we'll have football coverage on Saturday beginning at 3:30 Central for a 6:30 kickoff against Texas A&M. Jordan-Hare Stadium under the lights. You're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be a blast.
Boom. All that happening around Auburn Athletics, and a lot of that being covered by the Auburn Sports Network. Hillman, always appreciate your time, my man. Tell them where they can find you and all that information that they need.
Follow me on Twitter at JacobHillmanAU, and then follow the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. That will be where all the broadcast details can be found for the coming weeks.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Well, when do you go to Maui? When do you guys fly out?
Oh, I'm flying out Sunday morning, so wow. I'll be ready to go next Monday. All right, that's what matters.
I just don't believe that. I really don't believe that.
I guess it depends on the timing of everything, but I guess it is a late night tip, so I'll wake up and I'll be ready for a call from you guys.
Yeah, we'll make it happen, man. Hey, safe travels to you and everybody who is making that trip, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Talk to you guys then. All right, War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network making the trip to Maui. Good for him.
The Maui Wowie himself, Jacob Hillman, heading out there to the islands. Going to enjoy a little R&R, catch some rays, and hopefully bring back a Maui Classic championship with Auburn. What an opportunity for the Tigers, who have already thrown down the gauntlet with one of the better wins in college basketball this season, to just drive it home that they are legit and ready to compete for a national championship and to go out there and do some damage.
Are you talking about UNA tonight?
Yeah, that's going to be a big no for me, dog.
Yep. All right, we'll take our final break, come back and wrap it all up. Some quick recruiting talk when we come back for football and basketball as we wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line after this.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us as he does most Mondays. This guy just told us he's going to be in Maui in Hawaii next Monday and says, yeah, I'll be ready to hop on the show. I'll hop on and talk to you guys. Okay. Yeah, like you're not going to be on the beach by the ocean, drink in hand, sun shining. I just don't think I believe that. But we'll put him to the test. We'll see how it goes. But as
yeah, y'all put me on the air if I'm out in Hawaii. See what happens.
I think we'll pass on that one.
I mean, come on. Okay, Hillman. We believe you.
As he said, lots going on with the Auburn Sports Network tonight. Over on Wings 94.3, Tiger Talk 6 to 7. They will be live at Baumhauer, so if you want to go check that out, you can. You can also listen to it on Wings 94.3. We'll throw it back to music for about 30 minutes, and then Auburn basketball will take over. So two separate broadcasts. So looking forward to that. And then Saturday, Auburn and Texas A&M, that is under the lights. That is a 6:30 kick. And then did you see this today, Uncle T-Bone? The Iron Bowl is officially a 2:30 kick in Tuscaloosa next Saturday. So
yeah, that'll be on ABC. I'm trying to think about the last time that an Iron Bowl was actually on ABC in my lifetime. I know
on
it's
ABC?
Occurred.
Yeah.
It used to always be on ABC with Keith Jackson, and I can't remember his name right now. He was the color commentary, former athletic director at Arkansas.
There was there's been a handful that have been on ESPN.
The last time it was on ESPN that I can think about was 1994. It was a night game. I mean, excuse me, 2014.
14, yeah.
That was a night game.
Yeah, that was
a very exciting game in Tuscaloosa. Ever since then, I believe it's been on CBS at 2:30. Can you Are you shocked that it's the 2:30 game?
I kind of am. Yeah, I kind of am. I mean, I don't know. With that weekend, right, you've got Texas and Texas A&M that got the nighttime slot on ABC, but I'm surprised it wasn't like the night game on ESPN. But I guess since ABC is ESPN, they didn't want to put those two big games, I guess, conflicting. And look, obviously, the Iron Bowl this year is not what it has been in terms of the rankings and the records and the implications, but it still gets a lot of viewers. People go out of their way to watch the Iron Bowl. They always have and they always will. And so I guess that's what ESPN wanted to do. They said, all right, let's put one at 2:30 and let's put the big one at night. We still don't know. I don't think we know what the early kick is that day, that weekend on Saturday. That's next Saturday after Thanksgiving. And so I think that is... I think that's going to still be TBD. Hey, somebody just texted and said Pat Dye's last game was on ABC.
That is it. That, you know what? That is exactly right. That was on Thanksgiving Day. That was 1992. And I remember that very well.
That's our boy Jeff down in Enterprise.
I was racking my brain for that because the 93 game was not on television. Auburn was on probation.
Probation.
And then, yeah, it was ridiculous. And then in 1994. That one may have been on ABC also. I'm going to have to look back and see about that.
A little before my time.
Just a little bit before your time, Jacob. I remember it well, though. Auburn got the shaft shocker in Birmingham on a bad spot late in the game in 1994. It's a different story for a different day. We can relive those memories all next week when we get ready for Iron Bowl week. We have to come in an extra day or two just to see what's going on with the Iron Bowl. It's just such an amazing rivalry. You're right. There will be. It is must-watch television. It's going to be a lot more interesting if Auburn get a W this Saturday and be fighting for its bowl life. And if Alabama gets victory, I'm going to have to take a look at that line that Alabama has at Oklahoma later in the week. But and I'm not saying it's because the Iron Bowl by any means, because there's really no reason why Alabama should be looking ahead in totality to Auburn as a four-win team. But I just get the feeling that this Saturday Alabama struggles with Oklahoma. In Norman, late in the season.
What does Oklahoma have to play for, though? That's my thing. I mean,
yeah,
they're just,
I mean, just spoiler. And they're playing for a bowl.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, they're kind of the same boat as Auburn.
With Alabama and LSU, and you know, that game for Oklahoma looming at LSU to end the season, not near as difficult as it looked going into the season. That LSU team is in complete disarray.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. And, I mean, Auburn's in the same spot, though, like Hillman was saying. I mean, Auburn says apparently Bama 13.5 is what it is right now.
At Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it seems a little low to me.
That's what Stephen in Texas says, 13.5.
I might have to come back to that game back on Friday, obviously, when we talk about it and see how this week plays out. But and see what Oklahoma has injury-wise. Not a lot to play for, obviously, other than pride and a bowl berth. But, you know, that just seems like a really weird trip to have to take this late in the season for an Alabama program that has not had to travel like that before an Iron Bowl in a very long time.
Which is something we highlighted preseason about if Auburn could win the games they were supposed to, you got A&M at home versus Bama having to go to Oklahoma and how that could be advantageous for Auburn going to Tuscaloosa year one with Kalen DeBoer. I mean, all signs pointed to Auburn trying to get this thing, to having the advantage in the Iron Bowl this year, and pretty much all they're going to have now is to play spoiler and possibly fighting for a bowl game.
Have you seen the line real quick before for the Auburn A&M game?
Yeah, it's like 2.5.
Anybody smell cologne?
Something smells.
I want to leave it alone, folks.
Yeah,
that does not
smells raunchy to me.
The smell test to me. I think Auburn can beat A&M.
Hey-o. Guess you're going to have to wait till Friday to hear more of that from him. Uncle T-Bone's back on Friday. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Basketball, recruiting, football, you name it, we'll have it 2 to 4 right here tomorrow. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.